So what did you think you liked that? You sound like you liked that. You know, you come to church to worship, and then kids perform, and we love them so much. We just want to encourage them. And so you guys, well done, well done. And when we come together and when we sing to God and when we call that worship, when we call that praise, you know, it's like God's kids on earth noticing as we look around what he's accomplished and looking up and being like, well done, God, good work. And God already knows it's good. He doesn't need us to tell him. But those of you in the room who have children that suddenly notice you when you're holding them in your arms and their little necks look up and they're like, oh, right? Or when your kids come and there's you guys in the front and you guys in the back know the experience of a piece of artwork that gets presented in the kitchen and how it ends up on the fridge, doesn't it? Right? A little magnet and it's up there. That's the way we're looking at this. That's the way we're thinking about this. But this story, I shouldn't say but, it's really and. This story, this Christmas story, has something that's worth looking at and just to talk about what the scripture has said that these children have told us. And so you know the story, most of you. This is a culture that still echoes with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 65% of people in the last census said, yes, I'm a Christian. I will tick that box, right? It's shrinking, and it's shrinking because the church doesn't share the story with people who don't know it, and that some people sign off and said, actually, I haven't become convinced. All the time I spent in church hasn't convinced me, right? So, but if we're looking here and we say that, all right, God chose to come to earth as a little baby, right? And then he didn't choose someone famous, right, or special to be his parents. And he was born in a place where animals have been kept, right? So there's hay there to remind us of that. And, he went to tell the amazing news of this birth of Jesus, the Messiah, to shepherds, to laborers who had to be out that night watching sheep on the back shift. That's who God went and told about it. And the baby's presents that were given to Jesus were unusual, if you think about gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, if that came out of a box for these kids in the front, I think you'd get like a bit of a face, wouldn't you? Like, huh? You know, it's like getting socks. You know? It is, but they were significant. And they were, with what those people brought, they were like, this is excellent. These are excellent things. But the reason that we're here now is seen in the Bible, and it's seen in the words of Jesus. And if you looked in a Bible, in the Gospel of John, you would find in chapter 3 these words. So you listen to them or you read along. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says a very familiar verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But did you know God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world? That's what it says in the very next line. That's not my commentary. You know? So at the ball games, right, someone there with a piece of paper says John 3:16, and people know God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Do you understand that there is a Jesus who lived and he's historic and no one in the world argues about him? Do you understand that he rose from the dead? Now, some people debate that, but the people who saw it, their lives were changed forever. If they made up that he rose from the dead, why would they die for a lie that they made up? Someone came to them and said, unless you say you made it up, we're going to kill you. And they said, look, I saw God. He was alive after Jesus was dead. There's no way I'm going to recant. I guess you have to kill me. Right? And this guy, John, was actually dipped into a vat of oil rather than say, yeah, we made it up. Ouch. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Not because God's going to punish you because you don't do what he wants, but because ever since Adam and Eve, humanity has walked away from God. And the only way back to relationship with God is in Jesus Christ. So if you don't accept the relationship with Jesus Christ, you're part of the current of the river that flows away from God. That's what the Bible teaches in the words of Jesus Christ recorded by this guy John. And this is the judgment. The light came into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their works were evil. So it's saying something about me when I don't like what the Bible's teaching me. When I don't like what Jesus comes and says, and he says, here's a hard road, follow me. This is how it works. You have to love your enemies, not bomb them. I believe Jesus might teach from the pulpit. Now, you know, I know that lights something up and you say, hey, now, wait a minute. What about defending your kids? Come on. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. That's hard. And I want revenge, frankly. And you know what? When the light comes into the world and I love darkness rather than light because my works are evil, I want revenge because that's my selfish get back. Stop them. I have to stop and I have to check my heart. I don't think it says don't defend yourself, but I think it says to do something that is positive and loving for the people who you would consider your enemy. And at Christmas, isn't that important? It's important because of the person trying to cut you in the queue, right? I mean, they're there, right? And poor salespeople. Do you not feel sorry for retail employees at Christmas? Every time I see them, I like trying to just touch their hand a little bit. I'm like, are you okay? You know, they're like, thank you for saying something, you know? Yeah. It's all around. It's the person who just nips into the parking spot ahead of you. I mean, these are first world problems, you know. There's people out there who use food as a weapon and they hold back food till you do what they want. And if you don't, you'll starve. I would like to see those people just hack down. Really, just make them stop being in the way between mothers and food. But that's because I'm a sinner. And that's because I would get mine and my wrath. You know, the Bible says the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. So this is tricky stuff. And I want what I want, but everyone who does wicked things hates the light, doesn't come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You know, when you got nothing to be afraid of, you draw near. When I'm a naughty boy and my parents are like, David, and I'm all like, yeah. I'm like, what? They're like, why are you hiding? I'm like, I wasn't hiding. I'm not wearing fig leaves because I know I'm naked because we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil over here just like Adam and Eve, right? We need help. And God provides the help. He provided the help before you were born when this baby lived and died and rose again. And God gave the first Christmas gift. Merry Christmas. That's good news. Out of all the lovely and generous gifts this season, God's gift is the only important gift that will change your life in eternity.